Two things really stood out to me when I appreciate the music, but I also like the message that was imparted. Number one is if we're really in tune with what the Bible teaches, we know that Jesus Christ literally rose from the grave. He's alive. Hallelujah. And secondly, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we're Christians, we have hope in God, and we don't believe in a resurrection, God speaks himself and says, in his sight, we're most miserable. 1 Corinthians 15:19. And I think of the masses of people that are involved in some kind of Christian worship, that have Bibles in their homes, attend services, but they don't have a hope in the resurrection. And 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, in God's sight, that's most miserable. Haven't you been with somebody sometime where you see a program or something happens and they say, man, that's miserable? But this is God saying it's most miserable if you don't have a hope in the resurrection. Then you're sacrificing a mere 70 years life here and giving away aeons of time of being with the Lord. When I think about some of the cliches that link up with being most miserable, I've heard people say, man, that's terrible, or how foolish. That's really, really missing the mark, or that's gross. That's what God says for those that are just involved in religion and have no hope of a resurrection. I've been blessed to visit many places in the world, and I've always tried to see places that are connected with the gospel, or if I'm in my country, the religious aspect of my country. Just one example, there's a place in Philadelphia that's probably very seldom visited. It's a old cemetery. It's at the site of Christ Church at 5th and Ark Streets in Philadelphia. And there's buried Benjamin Franklin, one of the great heroes of past history of our country. It's an out-of-the-way place, but he wrote an epitaph concerning the burial of his own body. He wanted read at the time of his own funeral. And most of you know something about Benjamin Franklin. Here's what he says in that epitaph. He says, because he had a hope in the resurrection. He wasn't just a politician, most miserable. He had a living hope. He says, like the cover of an old book, like the contents here are worn out. He's referring to his own body and stripped of its lettering and gilding. Lies here the food for worms. He's talking about his own body. But the work shall not be lost, for it will. And then Benjamin Franklin expresses his faith, appear once more. He believed in the resurrection. And he said it will appear in a new and more elegant edition, revised and consecrated by the author. I thought that was an outstanding statement about Benjamin Franklin's hope in the resurrection. I think one of the most beautiful pictures in the Bible is found in Matthew 28, verse 2, which says, the angel of the Lord came down. He rolls back the stone. Christ had risen. And the beautiful part of it is he sits on top of the stone. His testimony, praise God, the Lord is risen. He's alive. The resurrection is true. I hope that there isn't anybody here today that's just caught up in some kind of a religious net that labels you somewhat of a believer in this life. But boy, I just hope, as I just share a few thoughts here today, that our faith is alive. When the choir sang, I thought about our faith. And, you know, were you there? They sang as he rose up from the grave. I mean, I can picture it. I've been there. I know it happened. Hallelujah. Woe, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Do you have that kind of a living faith? You know that you're redeemed. Christ paid the price for your salvation. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible tells us we're not going to be a part of his eternal kingdom unless we experience Revelation 21:27. Our name needs to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm not out to push anybody, but boy, if you've never made public your acceptance of Jesus Christ, it's something very dangerous to play with. The Bible says if we'll confess him before men, he'll confess us before the Father, which is in heaven. The Bible says there's no way we'll enter into the gates of that New Jerusalem unless our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, Benjamin Franklin made that clear in his position. This angel that comes down, sits on that stone. What a testimony. He says, as the choir sang, where, O death, is thy sting? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Once he died, our souls to save. There's no victory of the grave. We've won the victory through Jesus Christ. You guys sang the word hallelujah so well. The grave has been denied. Jesus is alive. You believe that? He's alive. He's at the right hand of the Father. He says in Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. I just don't want you involved in religion. If any man will open up the door of their heart, open up your mind to him. I will come in and sup with you and talk with you. And you can talk with me. And if you'll believe, verse 21 says, you'll be an overcomer. And Christ promises you in the ages to come, you'll sit with him in his throne, even as he overcame, sat down with his Father in his throne. I was reading an article in one of our major magazines about all the testimonials of what religion says. And masses of people are following directions other than what's in the Bible. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. After 50 years of ministry, I'm more convinced than I've ever been. And it's simple. Somebody had to solve the sin problem. And just religious activity could not do it. Son of God became one of us, came down, joined in the Adamic race. And because he was the only person that was sinless, he could pay the price for our salvation. And that's why he says, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody will open the door, I'll come in. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, there's no salvation in any other way other than seeing what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. I should be punished as a pastor if I was afraid to say that. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Thank God for the parental upbringing that I had that laid that kind of a foundation in my life. And now I can look ahead to the bodily resurrection. I've stood so many times at a gravesite after we have a funeral that oftentimes we'll go to the gravesite to make a final committal of the body. And generally the last thing I'll do is take a handful of dust or flowers, throw it on the casket. See, we commit this body back to the ground from which God made it. Dust back to dust, but not without the hope of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. This mortal body shall put on immortality. This corruptible body shall put on incorruption. And then shall fully be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's why Benjamin Franklin could liken his body to an old book that's all worn out. The cover's old. Contents are torn up. Some of the pages aren't fully there. Some of the lettering is gone. But he saw that that's not the way it's going to end up. He testifies that he knows he'll be raised up. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." I think it's wise to face the issues of the fact where 10 out of 10 of us are going to die unless Christ comes. What's going to happen after death? We're foolish if we don't prepare. God help us to be wise. I think of Enoch. He's an example of what's going to happen to a whole generation of believers as God catches them away. Genesis 5, 23 and 24 says, "All the days of Enoch were 365 years, and he walked with God." Just walked with God. "And he was not, for God took him." Hebrews 11, verse 6. Before God took him, the Bible says that he pleased God. He blessed God. And don't we want to have that testimony that we please the Lord? We've got to believe in the resurrection. Otherwise, we're most foolish. I thank God for the moment. When my life changed, it changed when I said, "I'm getting out of my cotton picking seat and I'm coming down to the front and I'm going to publicly accept Jesus Christ." I challenge you today. If you've never done that, why would you want to play with the issue of eternal life? Revelation 21, 7 says, "The fearful, the unbelievers, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. That's the only other possibility for a person other than the verse I gave you in Revelation 21, 27, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We can be religious, but we can't destroy sin. It took the power of God to do that. It takes the Christ sacrifice, which we're willing to accept, and God sees it, and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I think of so many times I lie in bed and I think of how the whole thing ends, Revelation 22, the last five verses. The Spirit and the bride tell people, "Come, let him the thirsty come, let him the heareth come, and whosoever will, let him drink of the fountain of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the sayings of this book. If any man shall add unto these things," God says, "I'll add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book," the Bible, "I'll take away their place out of the holy city and out of the things that are written, the promises." And the Bible ends up with the call. We have a choice to make. We can come. And then the Bible ends in a unique way. It ends with the signature of the writer of the book. When you read "Amen" at the end of Revelation 22, you're just not reading, "This is the end of the book." You're reading the name of the author of the book. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He signs the book. And all God's people said,
"Amen."
That's his name. I thank God for the blessed hope. The choir did a great job telling us about it. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, "Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." I mean, nothing is as important as being sure that we've accepted the Lord and we're saved. So as we close this service today, I think I'm just kind of backing up what I heard the choir saying. I'm going to be down here, even if there's one person, if you're not absolutely sure your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, just consider making that decision today. You're not going to be embarrassed. We're not going to call your name out or anything. I just pray with you that you know, you could have such peace. What was the choir singing? I jotted it down. If you do accept the Lord, you can expect victory daily. You are the light over us that's shining. I want the light over my life, don't you? As we go forth from this place today. You're the hope in the darkness risen. You are the love that makes all things new. Hallelujah. The blessed hope. Don't leave here without facing that issue. Do you really believe in the blessed hope? Paul said in Ephesians 1, about four or five verses there from 18 through 23, the rest of that chapter. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his exceeding power to us who believe, which he wrought in Christ when God raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but in the world to come, and hath put all things under Christ's feet, and hath made Jesus Christ the head of the church. That's God's church. Jesus Christ is the head of it. There's many gates, but there's one pathway that leads to eternal life. I have to say that because I know what the Bible teaches. My heart cries out if there's just one person that would come down and meet me and I could just pray with you. You'll never have to worry again about your name being in the Lamb's Book of Life. It could happen at any moment. The Lord could come. Why would we put ourselves in a place where 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, God would say, he's most miserable to me, God says. Not to face reality of eternity. And my heart's been broken at times where I've tried to testify to people days before they die. They wouldn't listen. Sometimes it's the other way. I had a lady grab my hand since I've been pastoring this church, an older lady. Some of her family's here. She had accepted Christ. She hadn't lived for him, but she accepted him. And she took my hand and says, Pastor, you better tell me what's going to happen the next hour's just ahead. I want to know what's going to happen. We told her what would happen. She accepted Christ. When she took that last breath, she's going to see some angels ready to take her immediately to be in the third. They're not going to purgatory. They're going up to be with Jesus in the third heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. Hallelujah. What an opportunity. I thought so many times about Revelation 22:8, where it talks about the lake of fire for those that reject God's way of salvation. God did everything he could. But if you're fearful, unbeliever, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, or a liar, can't make it. But verse 27 says that if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll enter into the New Jerusalem. You see that city of God. Unbelievable picture if you read Revelation 21. Foundations of the wall of the city are 12 beautiful foundations. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardius, sixth sardius, and so on. Just beautiful stones. We have something special prepared for us, but we have to choose. And I just hope that there's somebody here today that maybe you haven't for sure. Maybe you came from a religious background. I don't know. But you've never publicly done what Jesus said. If you'll confess me publicly, I'll confess you before my Father and all the angels. And I'm not pushing anybody, but if I could just pray with you for a minute before you leave this house, I'll be standing down here. The blessed hope is the hope in a bodily resurrection. And so when we commit a body to the grave, we'll commit it, but we won't say that it's without hope. We know there's going to be a resurrection. And thanks for that message, choir, that not only did Jesus rise, but we can be a part of it. If you've never made a public... I mean, can you imagine what God would say before his own angels? I see that couple or that person. They're sincere. They're not ashamed to come down and accept my way of salvation publicly. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just pray that you'll have, as the choir sang, I wrote those words down. There'll be a light over you shining. Life is different. There'll be a hope in your heart. It'll overcome darkness. God, through his love, will make all things new.
Amen.
That's the way we're going to close today. And thank you, everybody, for coming out to God's house. And, thank God I could live in this country where we can worship him, spirit and truth. I think we could dedicate that book by my second cousin, Bruce, today. I think it's going to speak to thousands of athletes and people in this country that need the Lord. So help us close this service just honoring our God. Let's stand to our feet. If you've never publicly accepted him as Christ, why play around with an issue that's critical? You'll confess me before men. I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Then you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Jeff?
You are my God, and I belong to you, Lord. You are my God, and I will always follow you. Your ways will be my ways, and your people my people, and your truth.